Okay.
Yeah, we'll get started. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the January 18th meeting to order. First thing, approve the agenda. Mr. Baker, any changes on the agenda?
Yes, I do have several suggested changes. First, under Mr. Michael Izzo, Inland Bay's Regional Wastewater Facility Change Order, we'd like to defer on that item until next week.
Okay.
Under executive session, we do not have a land acquisition or pending potential litigation items, so those two items could also be stricken.
Okay. Anything else from council? Not well, entertain a motion to accept the agenda. Okay. Second, somebody.
Second.
Yeah, motion is second to approve the agenda as amended. Any questions on the motion? Not all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Approval of minutes. We have minutes of January 11th. Anybody have any changes or additions or corrections to those minutes? Not hearing that. Will the second approved as read? Mr. Moore.
There is no correspondence, Mr. President.
Very good. Mr. Baker.
First item is airport runway update. And as you may recall, several weeks ago, the county council requested some additional information regarding comparable airports, especially information regarding runway lengths. And Mr. Hicken has compiled information on the various airports that was included in your packet. And as you can see, for nearby comparable airports, we are at the low end in terms of runway length at 5,000 feet, which is approximately equal to Cape May, New Jersey Airport, but is below what some of the others are. As far as airports that possibly could be considered as competition for our industrial airport, such as Pat's, there are some listed. Now, most of these are old military airports that are now available for use. I believe it is important that we keep in mind that there are some important advantages to the county airport. For instance, location, we're in the Northeast Corridor, close to New York, Philadelphia, Washington, and Baltimore. Our costs are typically lower than the big city airports. In the past, it was my understanding that a privately owned 737 was kept here primarily because our costs were much lower than New York or other airports. Our industrial park has water and sewer infrastructure that's available. We have an airframe mechanics training program located at our industrial park, which is a feeder program for employees. And companies that are already here, such as Pat's, do have investments, of course, in trained personnel and infrastructure, such as hangars and equipment. We have with us today Mr. Hicken. Also, Garrett DeNoga is also here, who is our fixed base operator and also chairman of the airport advisory committee. I don't know if Mr. Hicken would like to explain his spreadsheet.
I don't know if you understand what all the acronyms and stuff are here, but basically I just looked at the longest runway at each airport and what length of runway they had planned, if any, what types of instrument approaches, which is important, and then whether hangar space was available if somebody wanted to, you know, move right in, and then land that would be available for development. And the numbers are there. I'd be glad to answer any questions. But
any questions from council? Mr. Cole, I think you had this issue.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
Is this okay when he's brought back, or...
Yeah, and what's it telling us? I mean, could you give us a synopsis what we should glean from this with compared to what the proposals we've got in front of us? We want to extend our runway. It costs a lot of money. I'm trying to find reasons to justify it. Can you give us a positive spin on this, and then maybe why?
Well, I would say if you're looking nationwide, we're not very competitive with a company that's looking to move to a new location. But we do have a company that's here that has a lot invested in the airport and the facilities here. Increasing the runway to 6,000 feet makes us more competitive with them to stay here versus moving someplace, mm-hmm. Which is a little different than, a company that's definitely going to move someplace and, they're looking at us versus, say somebody like, Tulsa, which has a lot of land available, a lot of good instrument approaches, is a very long runway.
But I mean, when I look at their acres available, we are still, no matter how long we build our runway, we're still going to have only maximum at 25 acres available for
about that,
development.
Without doing something radical.
So we're always going to be limited in that aspect, correct?
If you're looking at somebody moving here versus somebody that's here and already occupies 40 acres, and they're looking to move someplace else, then. I think with us with a 6,000-foot runway, it makes us a lot more competitive for them to stay here versus somebody.
Yeah, I just keep falling back that we're doing. It seems like maybe some of these other airports have more than one corporate guy there. They're trying to keep. We've got. Looks like we're doing all this for one, and that's where I'm trying to have. I have a problem spending. So, how much money do you spend to try to keep one? Because if the one leaves, then we have zero. Where maybe these other airports, and this is another fact I don't know, maybe have a number of corporate users there that they're trying to keep there, and if one left, they'd still have somebody there. If we spent, millions and millions of dollars, and they have a corporate shakeup and they leave, we got zero, and then we're out trying to get just anybody. So I don't know. It seems like a lot of risk for the money, and I'm just still trying to find information to lead me in the direction that we should do something.
Our goal was that we would not only be able to keep, of course, Pats here, and Pats would expand in the future like they were, an expansion that was in process till the economy changed, of course. But also, our goal was that we would attract some other aviation-related businesses to the county. And I know the state DETO office has been, Delaware Economic Development Office has been working with us to try to do that. And it's a difficult time to attract business, period. And, there's other, Wallops Island, right. For instance, is just south of us. It's hour and a half drive from here.
As I reflect back, when times were really good, we only had Pats.
Well, Pats started in 97. We had, before that, the Leona Helmsley Company, which was their predecessor. So, it is... we'd like to diversify more, certainly, right? And we think that, a 6,000-foot runway would be more in line with, it still would be below Salisbury.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a little bit more than Easton. It would be the same as Millville, New Jersey. Newcastle's like 7,200, and Wallops Island's like 8,700. So, obviously, we're not going to compete with companies that are servicing 747 airplanes, and we'll never be able to do that. But to compete with, to provide sufficient runway for some larger airplanes than what we have now, I think there's some economic development advantages.
Yeah, just my spin on it, the whole thing is in this economic times we live, a lot of these corporate people aren't just jumping around airport to airport, moving their locations and picking up here and relocating there. You just see very little of that. The only thing I could see is maybe some startup company trying to get some startup people, something new, but then that's even difficult. So anyway, I'm still on the fence on, to justify taking the county into a position where we're borrowing so much money. So Anyway.
What we're doing is we have a committee that we are working to try to develop a plan to make, to come up with a viable way to fund the airport expansion.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
We're not ready to talk to you about that today.
I understand.
But we wanted to provide this information so you could see what other airports in the area or how long they are.
And again, the cost of doing that 1,000 feet, no matter where we get the money from, will be about, what, $25 million or something? What was it?
22 or 3, I think.
To go directly to 6,000 feet.
Is how much?
It's in that $25 million.
Okay.
With the road, land acquisition.
So no matter where the money comes, it's still, okay, that's what I just wanted, that we're still talking about that number. Okay.
And it's about nine and a half million just for 500 feet, which is FAA eligible.
What would be, I see here on the land available, we have 10 acres and we have 25 of taxiways built. What would be the cost of a taxiway?
I think we've been using $3 million for the taxiway. This is a parallel taxiway to our Crosswind runway.
Okay. Any more questions for Mr. Hickman?
We have to build that.
To get to access the other 15 acres, apparently.
Right. Would that be FAA eligible, though?
It would be, but again, you know, you got to look at what are you going to give up to get that money.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions from council?
No, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Hickman.
Update on what's going on.
Thank you very much. Next year's report, Mr. Baker.
Yes. The next item is the administrator's report. Advisory Committee on Aging. Attached is an agenda for the next meeting of the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities that will occur on January 24th at 10 a.m. at the West Complex. Ms. Karen Lloyd, chairperson of the Governor's Advisory Council on Services for Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities, will be the guest speaker. Delaware Housing Workshop on January 27th. The workshop will be held at the Milford Senior Center from 3 to 7 p.m. to assist anyone regarding possible housing foreclosure. Attached is a flyer regarding the workshop. This is free, open to the public, and our community development and housing employees will be assisting with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mrs. Webb, come on down.
Send a memo that you're stapled on the wrong.
Oh my. All right. Who did that?
Oops. I usually like them stapled.
Thank you.
Dave, could you bring that up with Sue? They should be stapled.
Wrong side for George.
Stapled the wrong
corner. George can't fold that.
Like memo.
Well, it's awkward.
It was not that person today.
I mean, I think others share this concern with me.
George, you want to trade with mine? Staple on the right side.
Oh, Lord.
Is that right?
No.
Is that right?
It is.
Well, then, I think
here's George Trey Sam. He'll give it.
All right, thank
Jeff,
you.
Jeff, do you want to come?
Sam's, he'll sacrifice for you as always.
Well, they know he's extreme right wing winner, I guess, because the rest of us were all on the left.
Good morning. I don't know why the county department is sitting so far back in the back.
Find out who's responsible for the state.
I will find out who's responsible.
Put something in their file.
Thank you.
I think it's Mrs.
I would like to introduce the staff that prepare this financial statement and work on it very hard, but I can't hardly see them. Gina Jennings, Louise Thompson, Keith back there, and Kathy Roth, and Jeff James, and our auditors are here today, Jefferson Urian, Elaine Graves, and Gene Schmidt, and thank you for your help, too. And all the department heads that work when they go into the departments and do their thing. Okay. I will
breeze through the PowerPoint. If you have any questions, feel free to stop me as we go along. It'll be easier to ask them at that time, I think. The result of the audit is the auditor's report, and we have received an unqualified opinion this year, and it simply states the financial statements present fairly the financial position of Sussex County, Delaware, as of June 30, 2010. I'm going to do something a little different this year. Instead of concentrating so much on the financial statements, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our financial planning and our financial highlights. Before I go into the financial statements, some of our points on which we base our financial year on. We have a strong financial foundation. We took every advantage of the stimulus programs this year for sewer infrastructure and some other things that you'll see later. We use these funds to make sewer affordable to our users. We still remain on a pay-as-you-go basis with no general fund debt. We continue to make capital improvements, even in this kind of economy, using reserve funds that we have set aside in prior years and we haven't needed to supplement. We continue with our sewer expansion projects to keep our sewer running as smoothly as possible. We're constantly looking for ways to save money on sewer. For instance, this year we took advantage of the Recovery Zone Economic Development Bonds, where on those two projects, that the money we spent this year will get a 45% rebate on interest from the Treasury. And we continue to make five-year capital improvement plan for our future needs that we need for the staff so they know where we're going to be in 5 years, what projects we have, and for our budget. We're working on unifying our rates, gradually bringing them together. We continue to make required annual pension contributions, which keeps our pension healthy. Our regular pension fund is 92% funded, and our OPEB fund is 71% funded. We practice balanced budgeting. We present to council every quarterly a financial review so that there is no surprises at the end of the year or during the year. We keep you up to date with information so you can make decisions. We have a goal of reserves to maintain a healthy reserves, and you'll see that later on. And we practice fiscal conservatism. Some of the highlights for the year of 2010 specifically. In total, all of our funds, assets exceeded liabilities by $432 million. Net assets increased by $7.1 million from 2010 over 2009. No outstanding general fund debt. During this fiscal year, we received a bond upgrade by Moody's Investor Service, and this was due to our financial position, our prudent fiscal management, our financial flexibility, and our strong reserve levels. And that's their words. We have an undesignated general fund balance at June 30, 2010, was $9.4 million, or 20% of the 2011 budget. And this is right where our goal is, within 20 and 25%, which is considered best practice. This is the statement of revenues and expenditures and changes in fund balance for the general fund and the capital projects fund. You'll see total revenues of $46 million, total expenditures of $45 million, netting down to a revenue over expenditures of $617,000. And in September, we talked about this number. We estimated that it would be that, and it was. For capital projects, remember I mentioned about not supplementing capital projects now because we have prior reserve funds, and you'll see this here, where we've only received 1.5 in revenues, which is basically grant money, but spent $3.7 million. So we have been using our reserve funds that we have set aside earlier, and I'll talk more about that later, what we spent it on. Here's the balance sheet, the fund balance section of our governmental funds, general fund and capital projects, showing the undesignated fund balance that I talked about earlier of $9.4 million. This is our rainy day funds. And I think a couple of months ago I was in talking about the composition and the complexion of this fund balance is going to change for next year. So I'll be in later in a couple of months with some suggestions and ideas moving forward. This graph shows revenue over or under expenditures for the last 10 years. And it typically is the same graph we see with the realty transfer tax. We have the peak and then the decline. Shows our 3 years of deficits. And then in 6/30/10, this fiscal year, $618,000 revenue over expenditures. And our familiar graph, our line chart of the realty transfer tax showing the peak and the down in 2010. The revenue, the realty transfer tax revenue for fiscal 2010 was still short $500,000 as compared to last year. But in the 2011 budget, we're in a pretty positive position going into 2011. Here's the general fund revenues. And in your financial statement, in the detail, you can find all the detail that make up the different taxes, what adds to that, intergovernmental, and charges for services, if you want to get the individual detail. But this was a very consistent year, as you can see. The totals were very comparable. There was not a lot of sways one way or the other. In miscellaneous, this big difference here is interest. Interest was down $900,000. And this is the general fund expenditures in a bar graph comparing 2010 to 2009. Very much the same, very comparable. In most cases, 2010 was lower than 2009. Here's a statement of revenues and expenditures, budget to actual, at the final budget to the actual. And this also helped us put us in a positive position this year. You'll see on revenues, we had collected 1.3 more in budgeted revenues. In the same token for expenditures, we spent $367,000 less in budgeted expenditures. And the accumulation of that is our net revenue over expenditures or our change in fund balance of $617,000. Capital projects, I mentioned that we have spent $3.8 million. These are just a few of the things that we have spent it on. $1.7 million in the industrial airport park, and that's basically the runway 1028 rehab. $902,000 on buildings and improvements. And that was the roof on this building, our parking lot, and $866,000 in property acquisition. Basically was the dredging property that we bought in Seaford. Moving on to sewer. This is comparing 2010 and 2009. Again, very comparable between years. The grants are showing some differences, and because a lot of our sewer funding is from funding agencies, that all depends on in what stage we are with getting the grants, closing the bonds. So between the 2 years, there's a bigger difference. And we have a lot of in-process grants and loans right now as we're doing all the sewer work. Some of the sewer highlights are increase in net assets of $5.6 million. We've had major upgrades and renovations to our existing sewer infrastructure. Five major projects in progress, including Johnson's Corner, Angola, Inland Bays expansion, and Oak Orchard expansion. We received $3.6 million in sewer infrastructure paid by developers, and we had the bond rating increase, which will help us. We don't get our funding currently from the open bond market, but that bond rating increase will certainly do us well if we ever had to. On to the pension funds. This includes the pension trust fund, which is our pension fund, and the OPEB, the benefit fund, health insurance, and the total. Between the two funds, we had employer contributions of $5.4 million, net investment earnings of $6.5 million, giving us a net income of 8.5, and then our assets held at the end of the year are $63.5 million. Long-term debt is all in the sewer districts, $167 million in outstanding bonds and payable with no general fund debt. And as you can see, these statements are all pulled from the financial statements with a lot more detail on that page. as we know, we've received a lot in what we call stimulus funding or ARRA funds, which is American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And I wanted to show you the schedule to show you the impact on the different things that we do in our different departments where we've taken advantage of that money. This is a schedule of expenditures of federal awards. And you can see ARRA showing up throughout here. This is Department of Agriculture that we've used for rural development to fund bonds, $2.5 million. Housing and Urban Development, ARRA money, that's our NSP program that Bill LaCage runs. We didn't receive much in this fiscal year, but we have received more. EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, that's the agency with DENREC, the State Revolving Fund, SRF, we talk about, $8.2 million. And even Department of Energy for our future solar panel farm, I believe that's $680,000 we're to receive on that program. So in total, our federal funding that we have spent in this fiscal year was $18 million. Of course, not all that's ARRA, but it's mixed in throughout. And there's more detail of this in the financial statements, but I just want to talk about in general the economy. As we have seen over the last 3 years, the economic condition of our county directly affects our revenue, whether it be on realty transfer tax, building permits, fire service fees, interest, recorder of deeds. And there's a lot more in the financial statements talking about unemployment, agriculture, tourism, manufacturing, and healthcare with statistics and information. And looking forward, coming up on a new budget year, as in terms of a financial level, we continue to forecast and monitor the effect of the housing market on revenues. We do watch it constantly, especially the revenues that could sway our budget one way or the other, and we look at it during the budget. We will continue to balance the budget, promote economic development, no increase in property taxes, continue with gradually uniforming our sewer rates, continuing five-year capital planning with the capital improvements to see what's in the future for land or buildings or those kind of large purchases that we may need, and starting to craft policies and procedures. I have noticed lately that when we've had this downtime, we've started tweaking ordinances, we've started reviewing policies. Do we need to change something that, you know, we didn't like when we were very, very busy? Do we need to develop formal policies where there hasn't been one? So, basically, that's the financial statement.
Any questions, Mrs. Webb, and Council?
Nope. She's done a very nice job.
Yes, I think this
has to be one.
You and your staff should be commended, as always. It is a very good job.
The staff works very hard.
Yes, they do.
Good job. Together this audit report. And
the council appreciates
not only that.
That,
but they're under a time crunch with all the other stuff. As you know, our award has to be in December 31st, and they work very well with the auditors, who also work very hard when they take it all back to their office. They're crunching on it constantly to meet that deadline.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Cole.
I do have a question. uniformity of the sewer rates, which is something I've harped on for a number of years. How long will it be to you? You said we're gradually working that way. When will we get just a service uniform, you think?
Yes. I think when we started with the budget, we talked about looking at a seven-year plan so that there wasn't any
shock to the system right there.
Large spikes.
Right.
Some of them were pretty low. But I think if when we revisit that each year, it's not set in stone. If we can go quicker, we will.
Okay.
Absolutely.
No, I think that's a good thing because many other jurisdictions do have uniformity in rates and stuff.
Now, we have done that on the accounting side of it, which we don't have to do all those allocations anymore, all the separatistness
right.
that we were doing. That's all. We're down to four funds. So that is a big improvement in one
year. At one time, we had how many funds? Probably
24,
yeah, which was crazy. Right?
So, okay.
The other thing that I'd like to see is somehow looking at the front footage charges, averaging them, you know, per community, per subdivision, or something to bring some equity there, because neighbors, you know, are, sometimes are just, it's not equitable, I think, in a lot of the way we look at front footage rates. So that'd be a nice thing to look, start looking at a little bit.
Okay.
I don't expect an answer, but.
Okay.
Mr. Baker?
I just think I'd like to see some kind of effort there to bring some equity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I did want to mention one item. I think one of the important points is here that our expenditures in the general fund were $2.4 million less than the year before. If you compare this audit to the 2009 audit, and that reflects that many things that our staff and employees have done and the county council has done to reduce staff size, reduce expenditures for supplies, travel, whatever. And I think that's very important, because I know, like, the budget for 2010 was introduced, I know a member of Banker asked me, he says, well, that's a nice plan, but let's see it. If you all can make it happen, and I think it's a tribute to the county council and the staff and the department heads, you know, they did make it happen, and this is sort of a report card on that.
Well, this is something we ought to be doing, you know, as part of just as business as usual nowadays, you know, looking to making these cuts, keeping it tight like this, and not just wait for, you know, a downturn in the economy to say, oh, we got to, you know, we got to make smaller, you know, government smaller and more efficient. So I think it ought to be part of our mission statement or something in the beginning of this, that we will continue this effort. Does that sound okay with you, Mrs. Webb?
That sounds good to me.
Anything else,
Mrs. Webb? I can work with that. I don't know if the auditors wanted to say anything or good.
I don't have anything to say unless they have any questions for us.
Okay.
Again, thank you very much for all the work you and your staff do. We appreciate that.
Thank you for pulling your other hat and come up here.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're on your other hat and come on back up.
Okay.
Thank you, staff.
Thanks, Jim.
Next is our River Road extension contract amendment. Gibbons, step right on up.
Did you skip, Mike?
Good morning.
Oh, we took it off the agenda.
Oh, we did. Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
I have two items relating to the River Road Sewer Extension contract. There is the contract amendment and a change order. I'll start with the change order. During the River Road Sewer Extension contract, about 1,250 linear feet of gravity sewer is being installed in River Road. Soon after the project began, the archaeological investigation revealed that there were 27 bodies buried along the path, the intended path of the sewer line. Two options were considered at that point. One, removal of all the bodies, and two, a jack and bore option, performing a jack and bore to install the pipeline beneath the graves. After a consideration of the costs and time associated with both these options and with input from all the identified stakeholders, the jack and bore option was selected. This was presented before council, and the engineering department was authorized to proceed with the jack and bore. So the change order today is for the cost of the jack and bore, which is $115,906.60. The new contract total will be $429,857.85. Are there any questions?
Questions? Council?
Nope.
You have a motion?
I have a motion. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department and its consultant, Cave Associates, Inc., that the change order number one for Sussex County Project 09-15 River Road Sewer Extension be approved, which increases the contract amount by $115,906.60 for a new total of $429,857.85.
Make a motion.
We have a motion and a second. Question on a motion. Call for the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Now on to the contract amendment. This contract amendment relates to the provision of contract administration and coordination services by the consultant. The tasks under this contract amendment arise from the discovery of the bodies at the site. Initially, 5 bodies were discovered, and it was decided that these bodies would be removed. Thus, the need for archaeologists with expertise on on-site burial excavation. During that time, the consultant also had to provide full-time resident project representation services. Further, the consultant also had to undertake a comprehensive evaluation of the options, the jack and bow option or leaving the bodies in place, which included solicitation of pricing for the jack and bow, review of the shop drawings, etc. So the contract amendment therefore reflects the change in the scope of work. Any questions?
Any questions? You have a motion?
I have a motion. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council authorize its president to execute contract amendment 3 with George Miles and Buer LLC of Salisbury, Maryland, including subconsultant services by Cave Associates, Inc., to provide contract administration and resident project representation services for Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District River Road Sewer Extension at a cost not to exceed $19,838.
So moved.
A motion.
Second.
A second. Any question on a motion? I'll take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So this does get us down the road now, right?
Yes. We have completed the draft and board, and the project is slated to be completed by February 12th, and we are on track.
Oh, we're
on track.
Okay. Okay.
Is it
side
of that
track?
Very
yeah.
good.
Great.
Thank you very
Thanks
much. This is Webb.
Okay, just a few grants today. The Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Organization.
For,
has that been previous?
This is for the scholarship programs. Okay. We've done 200 each for their program, which we've done before.
So moved.
Second. Motion is second to grant $200 each of each council managed fund. Any question on the motion? Take a vote, Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Laura Little League?
What did we do previously?
Previously? In January 10, we did $2,500, and that was $1,700 from Mr. Vincent, and the balance coming from Mr. Phillips, $800 from Mr. Phillips. We've done... In August 10, we did $1,000 each from Mr. Phillips and Mr. Vincent. So just a variety.
It could be 18 to 17 each, following me.
They're looking for ground improvements at the park.
We have a motion for Mr. Phillips to do the, we'll be in 2010, $1,700 from my account, $800 from this account.
Okay.
I have a second for that.
Second.
Yes, second.
A question on motion. Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
And the Lower Sussex Little League.
That's Mr. Phillips and I again. We're baseball season's coming. The Lower Sussex Little League, which hosts the World Series for the girls softball, right? And they've done had that year after year, and plus their usual. Program, which is, I think, one of the largest, if not the largest in Sussex County. Anyway, they wanted to upgrade their snack bar refrigeration, and different equipment is all getting pretty dated. And Mr. Phillips, are you willing to do $1,250? And I'll do $1,250, and we will help with $2,500 total to that effort.
Second. We have a motion second for $1,250 from Councilman Coleman, Councilman Phillips. Questions? I'll take a vote, Ms. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore?
There are none.
None. Additional business brought before council? There is none?
There is none.
We will entertain a motion to go to executive session for personnel issues.
So moved.
I have a motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Executive session.
Yeah, you can have crutch for it, but you're carrying.
Yeah, you're carrying a crutch. We do use that thing.